This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Now, we're going to have a serious conversation. We're going to be authentic here.
Oh, dear.
You know, we have to. It's time to.
Authentic?
Yeah, authentic.
I like to keep it all on the surface where it belongs, nothing down deep.
No, I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to say, like many in our community, right? So I grew up being picked on, like a lot of people. You know, it's a common story.
And I still pick on you now.
I was overweight.
Really?
Not good at sport.
You were short and fat. Oh, that's like a double.
See? And this is exactly what happens at school. But you know what it did? It had this impact. It made me think something was wrong and that I wasn't good enough. And this is, you know, this is common amongst community members in our community.
But just higher. I think it's, I mean, raising three children, I'll guarantee it happens even in the straighties.
Yeah.
But you are right. I think our community has a higher, I suppose, but when you think the whole world's out to get you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then tried to overcompensate to prove myself and ended up, and I thought about it, I ended up becoming this person. Like I did university degrees in areas that I just wasn't interested in, you know, because I thought it would either please my parents or, you know, it would make me a good citizen or what have you, and nothing that I was interested in. And I thought about it and I thought, I've become this person that is not me, you know, and I've become a person that I think other people want me to be.
So you don't know who you even,
so I didn't know who I was. I mean, you know, and this was a long time ago, and now you read a lot of stuff about authenticity in, you know, it's popular psychology, and people say, oh, we need to be authentic. And I reckon this is what we need to talk about.
I agree.
And joining us in the studio is psychotherapist Matthew Cooksey, who's going to talk about this. What is authenticity?
Good morning, everyone. It's such a buzzword, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in a way, I think it's a little bit confusing because the moment that you start trying to be authentic, guess what? You're not being authentic because that you don't have to try to be authentic. Basically, it's all of the rubbish, really, that we've gone around and sort of sucked up and believed inside ourselves that stops us just being who we really are. So authenticity is sort of what emerges when we get out of all of our fearful little stories about ourselves and about what people think of us. Authenticity just sort of happens all by itself. So it's a bit of a strange one, really. When you try and be authentic, you become inauthentic.
So what's the difference between authenticity there? Like, I look at Tom's T-shirt and I think to myself, oh, my God, that looks absolutely revolting.
You lie.
I wouldn't say that because I think, oh, I don't want to offend him.
Yeah.
But so where's the fine line between, you know, being honest and saying, hey, Tom, I hate your T-shirt, like he does to mine all the time, as opposed to, you know, oh,
can
yeah.
Can you hear that noise? I'm sharpening the knives.
Well, I have to acknowledge, first of all, that it is a really hot T-shirt.
It is a nice T-shirt.
You said it was nice?
It's a lovely T-shirt,
well, that's
yeah.
Good, because I wasn't going to pick on your fake Elwood T-shirt over there. That's not authentic.
But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, not everything, you know, the average human being has 80,000 thoughts a day. Can you believe that? 80,000. That's
really?
One every second, right? So what's authentic? And sometimes I might have the thought of like, oh, I love his T-shirt. And then the next minute I might think I hate his T-shirt. You know, we like to think of ourselves as like this consistent person who has one opinion about all these different things. But the truth is that most of us have like a whole bunch of people sitting in this head of ours. And we have opposing opinions about all sorts of different things.
Talking all the time. So is it more about not saying anything rather than saying, oh, Tom, I think you look really great today, but my mind is thinking, actually, you know.
Well, that's really clear, isn't it? Like, if you really hate his T-shirt and then you find yourself saying, oh, I love your T-shirt, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think the key is just to slow yourself down. Because like you, I totally identify with what you said. I cannot even tell you the number of things I used to do all aimed at trying to please other people that were so out far from what I wanted. Like, I was straight in a relationship with a woman for 5 years, bought a house, was heading down the marriage road and all that stuff. I didn't want any of that. And it was just a calculation of what I thought I needed to be accepted. So we're doing that on a bigger or lesser scale almost all the time. And it's sort of being aware of it and slowing down and sort of catching yourself.
But you were saying before about, like, say you're saying you dislike my T-shirt. I mean, being authentic.
Just using a simple example. But
sometimes it annoys me if you notice a lot of people out there now say, oh, I'm just being honest. Yeah. So it's an excuse that I can totally. Be rude. Now, you dress for yourself. And we're just let's go back about the T-shirt. It means nothing. I couldn't give a hoot whether 99.9% of the population disliked my shirt as long as I liked it. And that's how we should be.
And, and this is it. So you're being completely authentic. And I guess I'm using that just as an illustration to say authenticity is not so much about these day-to-day things, is it? It's more about what happens to us as kids that turns us into these people that we're not because of, you know, our childhood stories.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's about all of it, the small things and the big things. And you know, I think you're right. People do use this whole thing of like, well, I'm just being honest.
I'm just being honest, you know, and they think that gives me the right to say, you know, your T-shirt sucks, your hair looks gross, you know, you are overweight.
That's right. Well, I'm
picking those jeans.
But every other time I'm dishonest, they're implying, aren't they? Because they're saying, I'm just being honest now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a real big mistake. That's not what we're talking about by
authentic. So being authentic doesn't mean that you've got to put other people down.
That's exactly how we go.
So it's being authentic, knowing that you're comfortable in our own skin.
That's right.
We're living our truth.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's authentic to what you believe. I believe to be an authentic human means that we should be changing, you know, we come into this world, we should leave it a little bit better than what we left it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Well, you know, that's exactly it. It's a very personal thing, essentially. Like being authentic is, as you say, what's authentic for you is not necessarily what's authentic for me. But I think the key thing is to remember that someone who is comfortable in themselves, somebody who does like their own T-shirt, really doesn't need to attack anyone else or even care what anyone else thinks of them, not in a defensive way, but just, you know, they're comfortable with it. And so all of that stuff goes away because I like my T-shirt and I'm happy with that.
So, Matt, how powerful is shame and how does that play into this?
Well, it's core, really. I mean, it's the centre of what makes us try and say or do things to please other people, because shame is essentially the belief that I'm not enough. Just little old me as I am, unfiltered, without my Instagram filter, is not enough. And that's the sort of heart of shame. And so if you fundamentally believe you're not enough, well, it's a pretty obvious thing that we do as the second step in reaction to that. We invent somebody else who is acceptable. And that's where inauthenticity.
Are we getting better as a society about being authentic? I mean, you just said, you know, Instagram, and you're right. As soon as you said it, I thought, hang on, we spend our whole lives now making sure that the rest of the world thinks we're having fun and we're looking really good.
Yeah.
It's not how half of us live, and we all know that. You know, we all want to take a photo and say, look how much fun we're having, you know. So do you think we're getting worse or better?
I think we're probably getting worse, actually. Because
better for the LGBT? I mean, we're getting stronger and more accepting.
I think so.
But the rest of society is just going.
And I actually think, you know, this could be our defining gift as a community back to the people who rejected us, because actually I think we are starting to learn this as a community in such a big way because we have been
been inauthentic about our friends and then going out and trying to fight finally for what we've got, as
that's
in rights to be able to go to work and say, you know what, I like boys.
Yeah.
I don't have to pretend,
that's
you know,
right.
because I work in a boy club.
Yeah, exactly. So because we have experienced the pain of inauthenticity so acutely, we actually have done all of this work and continue to do all this work to become more authentic at a time exactly when the rest of society is curating their Facebook image, their showreel of the perfect life. And I think this can be our big gift to the wider community.
Well, that makes me happy to think that. I'd like to give back.
That sounds a bit deep for you, I have to say.
Well, right, and I've just had like a thought. Oh my God, that's one of my 80,000 for the day.
That's right.
But Matt, we're not perfect though, because you get a group of us together, and we will shame each other.
Totally.
You know, this person's too camp.
Oh, but that's fun, isn't
this
it?
This person, you
is
know,
is that different?
And
is there a joke?
Well,
can I be silly?
That's right. You know, I would say fully authorized, Tom, you can be silly, right? Psychotherapist approved. The difference is the intention. What is your intention behind what you're about to say? Do you intend to sting someone, to slap them in the face and for it to hurt? Or is there an understanding between you and the other person? Me and my best mate, we say the most awful things to each other all the time.
If somebody overheard you saying that on the bus, I'd think, what the?
That's terrible. These guys are awful to each other. But there is nothing awful about about it. We absolutely love each other deeply, and there's a complete understanding about what that means. But I've been in other situations where I have said something and I've sort of reflected afterwards and I thought, oh my God, I actually meant harm there. And what was that about? Where was that coming from? How did I feel somehow inadequate?
Well, usually if we're attacking somebody else, we're usually trying to put ourselves up, aren't we?
Yeah, we're knocking them down.
So we're knocking them down so we build ourselves up.
We're attacking them because just before we started attacking them, we probably started attacking ourselves.
Ah, okay.
That happened first, but it was invisible to us. And then before we knew it, we're attacking someone. And it's like, hang on a minute, what the hell? What am I doing?
It's all to make us feel better.
That's right.
It's not so much.
See, I don't think I'm normal because we've had friends that talk about that and they go, oh, he doesn't like me. And they get upset. See, my first attitude is if someone says they don't like me, I go, oh, what's their issue? I'm fabulous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mustn't be normal.
No, I think you're being authentic.
Yeah,
I actually think
because other people panic about, oh my God, they don't like me. And if someone said, like Wayne says, oh, they don't like you, I always think, oh, what's their issue? I'm fantastic. They're the idiots.
Well, that's great. I mean, that you can do that saves you a whole lot of agony and stress. You know, like that's probably the one thing I, you know, have said to myself over the last 7-8 years of doing a lot of this sort of work on myself is, you know, this is my note to myself. Spare me the opinion of others. Like, save me from that because I don't need it.
I'll give you an example. Last week I went to a function and there were a lot of important people there holding significant positions. And one of them was talking to me and he asked me, what do I do? I thought, I'm not going to go into my career and achievements and all that superficial stuff. I'm going to say, oh, you know, I do Brekkie Radio at Joy. And he went, oh, is that all you do? And I could feel the judgment. And then internally, I could hear my voice saying, hey, Warren, you need to roll out your qualifications now.
Right.
And you need to up him on one. And I didn't. I pulled myself back. So is that how we deal with this when it happens? We actually step back and look at what's happening and say, okay, I don't need to react.
That's right. That's right. Because in that moment, right, if you do wheel out your list of long list of achievements, the problem is, yes, you might kind of shift that person's perspective of you in the moment, but you give yourself this message that saying that you present Breakfast Radio and Joy is not enough. And this not enoughness continues to get reinforced within you. And so I like this expression that defense is the first act of war. And actually, the moment you start trying to defend yourself, you're essentially attacking somebody and inadvertently attacking yourself. Because you know what? The fact that you do Breakfast Radio, both of you, like, this is amazing. It's such a great show. And there's so much great about that. And you lose that opportunity to acknowledge that within yourself the moment you wheel out that list.
Absolutely. And I actually thought, well, no, this list is superficial and it's not what I enjoy.
Well, you're
doing,
right. If someone says, oh, hi, Warren, you know, who are you? Is really what we should be asking. Well, who cares about how much you earn or what's your job? But we should be saying, well, you know, I'm a good person. I don't lie. I, you know, give over to community so many hours. You know, I mean, that's what we should be saying. That says who you are, not about, you know, what mark you got at university.
Exactly. And I'm very comfortable and I love doing Breakfast Radio. But it was just this, you know, interaction was happening and I could feel this.
Yeah.
You know, I was being judged on some hierarchy and I thought, you know, the natural sort of position is, given, you know, being LGBTIQ community, is to up myself up this ladder.
Totally.
We're on this ladder and everyone judges everyone against it. But the trick is not to.
That's right. You really caught it in that moment, didn't you? Like, you literally caught yourself about to do exactly that. And then in stopping, you were like, oh, okay, great. I am enough as I am.
Matt, how does it play out in our relationships, though, this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, relationships are always going to be tricky in many ways. And when someone's grappling with what's authentic for them, it often and almost always comes out in sort of fireworks in relationships. So for me personally, I mean, I remember when I was sort of, I'd just come out about a year before and I was sort of had a very busy old year, you know, if you know what I mean, getting plenty. And I was, I'd met this guy and, you know, I'd sort of fallen a bit head over heels and we were having these, like, this long distance relationship. And so we would sort of have this little rendezvous in a fancy hotel in London and it just felt so exciting because for so many years I'd denied myself this kind of thing. So I'm sort of enjoying it. We're dating, like we've been dating for like 3 months and I'm standing in the shower and I'm thinking how great this is. And then at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I really want this. I don't know if I'm ready to commit to this. And I'm thinking this, I'm starting to feel a bit torn because this guy had actually, believe it or not, he'd left his previous partner to be with me. And so I'm feeling like this huge amount of like, oh God, like pressure.
Pressure.
You know, I have to make this work. I have to be here for him and I have to keep this going. And then I'm thinking, God, I just want to run away. I just want to get out. And I think this is, you know, it's different for everyone, but how inauthenticity plays out in our relationships is it plays out in a sort of split mind, you know, oh, where we're sort of torn about stuff. You know, we love it, but we hate it. You know, we think they're great, but we think they're rubbish, you know. So it's
sounds like
split.
Being spanked.
What did you do with this guy in the end?
Well, you know, the bizarrest thing was I was clearly very confused at the time because I'm standing there in the shower and I'm sort of having this like inner turmoil about, you know, what do I really want? And he steps into the shower with me and I'm standing there and I suddenly hear myself say, I think I love you. And literally the moment those words left my mouth, I was like, oh my God, what on earth have I just said? Because like I was totally not sure if I even wanted to be there. And here I am declaring my love.
So you were basically saying what you think he wanted to hear.
Totally.
Not what you wanted to say.
Well, you know, the idea that I might have misled this person somehow and that they would have ended their relationship in order to be with me and that that would end up being on me, that I would be, that this would confirm my feeling that I'm a bad person that was sort of under the surface all the time at that point in my life, that was so confronting for me. It seemed that automatically I just totally threw that, all those doubts away, even though they were very real for me because I'd, you know, only come out very recently. And in that moment, I was like, no, I cannot be seen as bad. I cannot be seen as a bad person. So I think I love you.
But it's okay. So it's okay to be bad, is what you're saying. Like, you know, in terms of like, it would have been better for him to hear the truth and say, you know what, I don't know what I want.
Totally. Like, we're so scared of the things that we think make us bad, and actually, it's in our trying to pretend that we're not. That actually, that's what creates a lot of the dramas out there in our lives. Actually, if we were to more often acknowledge that, you know, right now I'm really not sure what I want, and I know that that has some consequences for you as well, given, you know, that you're in this relationship too, it might be harder in the short run, but my goodness, we would save ourselves a lot of stress and dramas in the long run.
And you need to be honest. I mean, how can you be honest with yourself if you're not going to be honest with other people?
Yeah.
That's why I always think, what I was telling you before, date people that are uglier than you, then you've got no chance of them ever leaving you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to tell them you love them. You don't have to do anything. They'll just hang around.
Matt, you got something, just to finish up, you got something big happening this weekend.
I do. So, you know, I've been working, I guess, pretty hard to make sure I walk the talk with this stuff. And it's not always easy. Last year, me and my partner of 3.5 years, we ended up breaking up. Actually, because I was being still, even after all this time, being inauthentic in a few different ways, and I didn't really see it until we broke up. Anyway, cut long story short, we end up being apart for 5 months, and then you know, I did a lot of personal reflection, and after that, we ended up getting back together, and we've been back together for about 1.5 years now, and it's just been amazing because I feel like I really am a whole new level of authentic with him, and on Saturday we're going to get married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you're doing it in Melbourne?
We are. We're doing it in Melbourne in St Kilda at the Prince Hotel. So don't crash the party though.
Prince Hotel. I'm usually already there. By what time did it open? 11?
So yeah, it's a really exciting time. And
congratulations.
Yeah.
You're going to look so great in a white dress. I mean, you've got the legs for it.
That's exactly right. You should see,
and I'm being authentic about that.
Matthew Cooksey, thanks for coming in, talking to us about that important topic, being authentic.
Yeah, we'll have to see you again.
Yes, we will.
But no judging me.
No judgment, love.
All the best for Saturday.
That was really good having Matthew in. Now I feel terrible.
Why?
I'm so unauthentic. I keep it on the surface. I want to be real.
I actually reckon you're really authentic.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you certainly put me in my place.
Well, that's not hard. I mean, look at the size of you. What do I pick you up and put you on a little dime in the corner?
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.